So this is one of the many things that I love about our gospel stories. If we just pay attention, they tell us exactly what to do. When we are faced with the incredible, the unimaginable, just like Joseph, we know how to respond. We're told how to respond. This morning, we see Joseph respond with love. His fiance is having God's child. Now, don't go too deep into the woods on this one. You know how the story goes. Joseph takes Mary as his wife, names the baby Jesus, and raises Jesus as his own child. Can you indulge me here for just a minute? You know, well, many of you know, I grew up in small town Texas in the 60s and 70s, which means that I grew up on country music. And there's a song that always makes me tear up, a song by Brad Paisley called "Half the Dad He Didn't Have to Be." Can you indulge me a minute and listen to the words of the first verse and see if you can see the connection to this morning's scripture that I always make? Listen. When a single mom goes out on a date with somebody new, it always winds up feeling more like a job interview. My mama used to wonder if she'd ever meet someone who wouldn't find out about me and then turn around and run. I met the man I call my dad when I was 5 years old. He took my mom out to a movie, and for once, I got to go. A few months later, I remember lying there in bed. I overheard him pop the question, and I prayed that she'd say yes. And then all of a sudden, it seemed so strange to me how we went from something's missing to a family. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me is, I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. Now, other than the boy is five and not a baby and there's no virgin birth or whatever, can you see? Joseph takes on the role of this baby's father and loves the baby's mother, and it's so sweet. That's love. The Gospels are so good at that, at telling us exactly how to live our lives in the midst of the toughest situations. Like, they tell us what to do if the Meetup app gets hacked and 5,000 plus people show up to your home at dinner time. You feed them. Not only that, but you feed them bread and fish. And when you're out tending your flock of 100 sheep and one wanders off, you know what to do, thanks to the Gospels. And when your son asks for a fish, well, instead of a fish, don't give him a serpent. And if he asks for an egg, don't give him a scorpion. So when you find yourself confronted by an angel who tells you not to be afraid, that your fiancé's pregnancy is the doing of the Holy Spirit, and you should accept the child and name him Jesus, well, you do it because you love her. You love the baby's mother. You love Mary. That's the story. That's what you do. And that's the way I've always taught it, as a great love story. And I've often read parts of Marjorie Holmes's novel Two from Galilee to you, because Holmes imagines a flesh and blood man loving a flesh and blood woman, not being able to live without her, actually. And though things have not turned out the way he imagined, he marries the woman because there is something stronger, and this is what Holmes says, there is something stronger than a man's ego, than a man's pride, a man's love. I love to tell that story. And now, in the midst of a pandemic and the most hateful, divisive administration I'm old enough to remember, I realize what a disservice telling that love story might have been for all these years. To tell the story of this man, Joseph's great love. Because you understand, don't you, that this likely wasn't a great love story at all? Well, not a great love story in the way that we imagine it. Here is more likely how it went. And to understand, you need to know more about this whole betrothal between Joseph and Mary. You see, Jewish marriages were very different, and Jewish engagements in the first century, than what we understand as marriage and engagements. In the first place, engagement in that culture, in Jesus' culture, was a formal contractual matter, usually decided on by the two fathers in question. It was an arranged marriage. And it was, in fact, the first stage, the engagement, was the first stage of the marriage itself. And then it would be completed in some months from the engagement date by a formal wedding ceremony. The reason that our Gospels tell us that Joseph resolved to divorce Mary when he was only engaged to her is because engagement, betrothal, was a legally binding contract. It was not like we understand engagement in the West today. But if Joseph divorced Mary, believing that she had been involved with another man sexually, it would have been his duty, after calling her out on that, to find the man in question, or at least to make sure that the man was found. The book of Deuteronomy makes this clear. It says, if there is a young woman, a virgin, already engaged to be married, and a man meets her in the town and lies with her, you shall bring both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. Listen to this part. Stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry for help in the town, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife, his neighbor's property. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. No, there was no comfort or help in the scripture for Joseph. What we likely have then here in this story is not a great romantic love story at all, but rather a story about a contract. A contract between Joseph, or Joseph's father, and Mary's father. A contract in which Joseph receives basically a piece of property. A piece of property that will provide children to him, hopefully sons, so that Joseph's family name will be carried on. But then this happens. And you've got to remember, and that's why I asked you to listen to the gospel story as though you were hearing it for the first time. You've got to remember that Joseph isn't hearing the story like we hear it. Joseph wasn't told the story like we're told it. He isn't told a story about immaculate conception and the child of God and what happens at Easter and all that. He's told Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean if you don't know the rest of the story? It wouldn't immediately occur to Joseph that the child is the child of the Holy Spirit, one part of the Trinity, because we hadn't even imagined all that Trinity part of the story yet. And this, have you really paid attention to this part before? When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Notice, the angel did not tell Joseph not to have marital relations with Mary. And yet Joseph did not. He lived with her as his wife 4 months and had no marital relations with her, even though nobody told him that he couldn't. Now really, think about your own great love story. Does that add up? That he lived with her for months, not expressing his love in a physical way, though no one told him not to. Here's what I'm getting at. I do think that what we have here is an amazing love story, just not the romantic love story that we often imagine or take for granted. Just not a love story about a particular man and a particular woman and an act of God. It's bigger than that, and it's also smaller than that. The feeding of 5,000 does not tell us what to do when 5,000 hungry people, and probably more because it was 5,000 men, but it doesn't tell us what to do when 5,000 hungry people show up. What it does tell us is that whenever you encounter anyone who is hungry, find the means to feed them. And you don't have to have experience tending sheep to know that when someone is lost, you do everything that you can to try to help them find their way back. I think what we have here in this gospel, this story of Joseph, is a story that tells us how we can love in many, many situations. You and I are not likely to ever receive the news that Joseph received. Your fiance is pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. But oh, how often we are presented with disappointing news. A contract that has been broken. The knowledge that we are not getting what we signed up for. And even so, we are invited to love by this baby that was named Jesus. We are invited to love. To love all of humanity as we love ourselves. And you know, sometimes it's not even a broken contract. More often, it's just a failed expectation. We write our stories of how things should go, of what we should receive, of what should happen. But all kinds of things happen every day in which we are invited, like the angel invited Joseph, to step outside of our traditions, to step outside of societal expectations and decide if we will love. If we will love as God has placed it in our hearts to love. Not with judgment. Not with condemnation. Not with ease. When the baby is born addicted to drugs, we often find it easy to love that baby. But do we also love the baby's mother? And when your child comes out as gay or transgender, and you feel that the contract has been broken, that contract that said that your child would grow up just like you, or with an easy way in the world, or with 2.4 children and a house and a white picket fence and all these stories that you've built, when that piece changes, do you choose to love? Do you choose to love the man on the street who asks you for your leftovers? Or do you think about what contracts he might have broken? Is he a drug user, criminal on the streets? The welfare mother? Did she try to get a job? Did she use birth control? Was she promiscuous? Constantly, these expectations, these social contracts are broken. And our response is to consider who is at fault, rather than like Joseph, to listen to the word that comes to us through the ages. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as you love yourself. Joseph's story is a great love story. It's just not his own story. It's our story. Probably many times a week, if not every day, the voice of God is there inviting you to let go of tradition, to let go of contractual obligation, to let go of societal expectation, and to love greatly. That's not the story we always tell. It is a greater love story. Amen.